Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, December 8th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Thursday, everyone. It is 34 degrees and partly sunny here in upstate New York. I saw this morning on AccuWeather that lake effect snow machine has turned itself on down south of Buffalo. So it'll be interesting to see. They are predicting, I don't know, not so much for this region. It's kind of, I don't know. I think they're arguing about whether or not we're going to get substantive snow here, but definitely the Buffalo area, it looks like they may get a couple feet by Saturday. So where do we leave off on Tuesday? Sorry, I wasn't here yesterday, but someone that I've known for most of my life passed away, so I had to go make a trek, but I'm back now. So where do we leave off on Tuesday? We titled the show 21st Century Cures Act, which is $6.3 billion, all of us free R&D for biotech. And I hate to tell you, but that was just kind of my long-term postulation as to where we've been kind of connecting dots and showing how this is all going. But the LA Times, after the show, released a story that pretty much outlined what a giveaway we are now to biotech. So this is not fantasy, people. This is something that is actually happening. And with this full-out assault on every single one of our faculties, I mean, we are talking about invasive technology that they want to put inside of us, whether it be some sort of biosensor right now, doctor's smartphone. Remember, is they are giving our mobile devices and soon-to-be wearables and little sticky smart tattoos. As these things start rolling out and they are able to take our bodily statistics, our temperature, we saw diabetes monitoring, and they can monitor sweat. They have athletics utilizing back-end artificial intelligence such as Watson to be able to tell whether or not you're sweating, if your temperature is too high. We saw on Tuesday that there was smart pills, and not just smart pills with little cameras in them that you can swallow to do the upper and lower GIs, but we are talking about swallowable smart pills that can literally take your core temperature, that can tell whether or not you are taking your medication. They had mentioned that in that story. So you could track Nana. They could tell what you're eating, literally. What is happening inside of you? And the big question is, who is going to own all this data? Because it's going to be all these tech companies that are getting involved in longevity and curative medicine, who are working in cahoots with the federal entities, as well as the different universities, right? They're utilizing our children, finding the best talent to help them create this mad science that then, with this 21st Century Cures Act that right now, I'm trying to remember if it passed the Senate, now it's going to the House, and it passed with flying colors. We got this cross the aisle handshaking. We saw a video a couple times now. I've played it on the 21st Century Cures Act, trying to sell it to the American public. That bill sat on the floor for a while, and now it is having movement, and they are thinking that it's going to pass. And basically what it does is moves that pesky FDA. Remember, they mentioned that FDA and how the FDA, the research and development that the FDA requires for medical devices, treatments, and medications is holding up the progress of bringing life-saving and life-extending cures to you, me, and our children, of course, to Nana. We have an aging population here in the United States as well as in Japan at quite an accelerating rate. And these technologies are going to be able to lower costs, because remember, we have double-digit health insurance increases because of Obamacare that are hitting as of 2017, like I said the other day. Problem, reaction, solution. Our solution is to come up with smart medicine, doctor smartphone, remote diagnostics on the fly. A lot of this was developed as battlefield medicine. We've been following DARPA for as long as I've been on the air. And DARPA has been developing this stuff, of course, all in the name of warfare and keeping our veterans safe. We saw on Tuesday, maybe it was Monday, I think it was Monday, about the VA now getting ready to launch artificial intelligence and a precision medicine initiative within their walls, utilizing our soldiers who have been a part of this Department of Defense mad science research experimentation on humans for a very long time. Like I mentioned the other day, all you need to look at is the Gulf War, the first Gulf War especially. I have a lot of friends who were in the service at that time, shortly after we got out of high school, and some of us joined the service. And I have to tell you, a lot of my friends who went in during that time received that anthrax vaccine, and they have all kinds of freaky issues now. But don't worry about it, because you get free medical care from the VA, so they can keep their eye on you. They can come up with new med science-y treatments through DARPA to be able to cure you. A lot of this stuff has to do with PTSD and, of course, defects, things that had happened, limbs that are now missing because of the evilness of war. But they could fix you, Bionic Man. And it is now coming down to precision medicine. You know, there was precision medicine initiative, at least in 2015, out of the White House. And then back in February of this year, Obama announced an acceleration in his precision medicine initiative. We talked about this one the other day as well. And they are dumping all kinds of money, technology, and partnering across the gamut. Just like DARPA has done, all that sprinkle funding of our tax dollars that they've been spending at the universities, at the hospitals, where they're doing a lot of research, it's now coming to fruition. We have all kinds of new ways to be able to cure you of cancer, right? And all of them have to do with either little nanobots that target tumors or genetically modifying some sort of cell within a human. CRISPRing is this new fangled technology where we can target specific sequences and turn things on and off. I mean, I've been talking about this for a very long time. The president also backed the big cancer moonshot and put Vice President Biden in the driver's seat to that. We looked at that as well. They have spun out the National Institute of Health, the National Institute of Mental Health, the National Science Foundation, and pulled in organizations such as the Veteran Affairs, the VA, Department of Defense, the FDA, and then the tech companies, because innovation happens faster in the tech companies. Remember, in the commercial space is where they announced back with it. I never remember what it's called. I thought I looked it up for my notes the other day. Maybe I didn't have room to put it in there, but I think it was called the DIUX. And that was this change in contracting with the federal government. When I worked at a reseller, we used to sell networks and phone systems, and you'd sell them to all the different verticals, education, the healthcare, the commercial space, the state government, the federal government. You know, everybody had their different salespeople that, you know, focused on different verticals. And I was an engineer, so it doesn't matter to me what kind of a vertical had a network. They had, you know, different regulations and whatever. Like for banking and for healthcare, you had to encrypt all the data because of privacy issues and hackers and whatever. Back then, it was a big deal. But commercial didn't typically do encryption because it was expensive. But the long and the short of it is, these tech companies, you know, you had a lot of education that happened behind the engineering, and you had a lot of development that was going on behind the scenes, a lot of mad scientists in labs, but it was only technology. It was only data and voice. It wasn't biostatistics like we're talking about now. It wasn't the internet of everything, like we're looking at now with 5G and millimeter wave and this whole global network that will be able to dashboard all statistics of anything and everything you want to monitor and then control them, turn them on or off. Apply artificial intelligence to the chaos that occurs globally on a daily basis and find some order in it. Be able to find ways to cut costs, be able to find the best ways to manage things. And literally, we right now are at the cusp of handing over control of everything. I mean, literally everything. Our environment, our vehicles, our homes, our bodies, our minds. And if this whole fake news mantra that is now getting to the point where it cannot be anything but a psyop, I mean, we know because we're inside of what they are calling fake news, but we know that, I mean, there are those out there that I wouldn't give them the light of day, my eyeballs even scanning a story on their website. But there are many, 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 many other reputable journalists who don't happen to be receiving a paycheck from an alphabet broadcasting system of governors-controlled, State Department-controlled script-reading parrot on TV. You know, this fake news thing, my mom has been all over it, pointing out to me, fake news, Joel, fake news. You know, some of the stuff you talk about, look at, they're all rumors and conjecture. And it gets pretty hot sometimes when we're having these conversations because she just listens to what they tell her and then parrots it back to me. When I saw her the other day, she actually had a few stories snipped out of the local newspaper that, of course, doesn't have a lot of journalists themselves. They typically pull it from the national feeds and publish what they are told to say. She had these stories clipped out and stapled together and sitting on the counter for me on what? Oh, fake news. Well, I see this story today because, you know, it was Pizzagate yesterday and it was WikiLeaks and Hillary Clinton and her email server and classified information before that. And it's just been this constant mantra of things that they are trying to deny because they have gotten traction, because they have gotten the attention finally of the sleeping masses. They blame the Trump election on quote unquote fake news. And now they are trying to take all these disgruntled Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders supporters who all think the world is going to be over. And I hate to tell you, I don't think Trump is going to be any different in the end game than any of the others who have been put into office. I honestly, honestly don't think that there is individualism that can be exercised by one person sitting in the throne. You know, back in the days of the whole Ron Paul thing, I remember being called a defeatist when during one of those roundtable shows that we used to do over at the other network, I had opened my mouth and said, you know, even if he does get elected, what is one little old man going to do against this huge, huge consortium that's powering the world and the way it all works and behind the scenes playing the chess game? Because the one individual who stands up and tries to change the way the multi-bazillion dollar machine is working is not going to be a favorite to anybody. And in the end, something catastrophic might accidentally, on purpose, happen to that person who tries to stand up against the machine. And so typically, even if there's someone speaking some truth and logic, once they get to that chair, they realize that it will probably be in their best interest to go along with what they are being instructed to do. So the sad fact of the matter is, even if Trump now makes it to the White House. And remember, I don't know what's going on with that recount, but I did see a while back that Jill Stein had stood up and raised a bunch of funds for three different swing states and gotten some attorneys to say that there were some anomalies in some of the, I don't know, voting demographics that they wanted to double check. And hey, whatever. But Hillary Clinton, at one point, her campaign said that they were behind that. And if there happens to be a recount, and please excuse me because I've been out of the loop for about 24 hours trying to catch up as fast as I can, so I don't know if anything has come out on that. But if there happens to be a recount that shows that Hillary Clinton won a state that changes who actually wins the election, or there was that other little snag out there that could potentially turn things around here. I think it's, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was like December 14th or 17th when the Electoral College finally cast their vote. There were 14 or 17, I don't know, that number is important in there somewhere, different states that didn't have laws on the books where they had to vote with the popular vote within their state, which could potentially mean, and there have been electoral governors that have said that they are not going to cast their vote for Trump, even though their state did. So this could still turn things on its head. And I'm telling you guys, they have so divided this country on so many fronts. You know, we have had just this complete discombobulation of our nation over the last 8 years. I've never remembered us, except maybe when I was a kid. The Vietnam War was pretty polarizing. But not since then have I seen so many people so angry about so many things. And the thing that's so sad is that there are so many problems in this world. Can't we just freaking pick one that we can all go after and all make a difference by just doing one thing together that we agree upon is a problem? I mean, that's what they don't want. That's why now this fake news, they're trying to knock the legs out of what is true, what is not true. They are taking the pot of collective global brains. They're sticking in a stick. They're heating it up. And now they're stirring it. So people are scrambled. And, you know, if you look into psychology, we spend a lot of time on this show digging into the way the mind works and into how people interact and how they can pull the wool over our eyes and distract us with things like dangling carrots, pushing those brain chemical buttons like dopamine to get us to accept the machine, to addict us to our devices, to our bad foods, to our addictions. Addicting us to our addictions. But that's pretty much what it is. And then using it to manipulate us. I mean, if anybody has ever been in a situation where someone is an addict, you know somebody who is an addict, you will know that that person will do anything to get their next fix. And that dopamine reaction in the brain is the root of addiction. That is the root of cocaine and sex and rock and roll. It gives you a high that your body needs more of. It's one of those highs, just like cigarettes and alcohol. Once you get that buzz, next time, or maybe a couple times after that, you want to get a little more buzzed. And to get a little more buzzed, you're going to have to do a little bit more. Start to build a tolerance. And this nation, this world, literally, has been pushed to the level between all of these dangling carrots and the addiction to news. You know, the fact that news comes so fast and furious now, and being able to seek out information, you know, that is another thing that they found pushes that dopamine button. And by flooding our brains with this addictive chemical, they are able to take, we're almost like a bunch of cue balls on a pool table, and they very accurately, and remember that's all physics too, they very accurately plotted and did the mathematical calculations, some sort of equation, very complicated looking equation of exactly where to put that cue ball and exactly where to put that eight ball and exactly how hard they have to hit it and how many times they have to shoot. And right now we are at that point. They got that eight ball lined up in that corner pocket. And precision medicine is what is coming once that eight ball drops in the hole. It's all going to be done in the name of keeping you safe. We saw that Obama's latest, one of his most recent executive orders, this was from November 4th, 2016, advancing the global health security agenda, health security, to achieve a world, and he's talking about the globe, not just the United States, safe and secure from infectious disease threats. Well, you know, let's get everybody scared. Let's do it all in the name of security. Let's roll out monitoring with all of the big global organizations. Let's make healthcare and connecting the world to 5G our priority to be able to do this. By the authority vested in me as president, by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, it is hereby ordered as follows, as articulated in the National Strategy for Countering Biological Threats and implemented in the Presidential Policy Directive 2, promoting global health security is a core tenet of our national strategy for countering biological threats. Now, remember, guys, we've tied all this back to Fort Detrick, Maryland, Plum Islands, Operation Paperclip Scientists, human experimentation, and that agreement that Nixon inked in 1972 that said that we were no longer going to be working on developing chemical or biological weapons. He did make a footnote and said that we were going to continue, though, on a defensive posture, working on creating vaccines. And that's why, people, vaccines have always remained the mad science department. All in the name, of course, of keeping your children safe, but the whole while allowing them to get their hands on biological components that can be used as bioweapons. All in the name of developing a cure. Well, it's gone way beyond that. Remember, DARPA was working on their shape-shifting immune system that would literally genetically modify the humans it was injected into and allow them to be able to counter any threat, known or unknown, any biological pathogen. By being able to mutate on the fly. Remember, too, they were talking about DARPA was now working on a project for a digital rights management system for the human genome. We talked about that about a month ago. They want to lock down our genes just in case one of these new weapons of mass destruction, this democratized insanity across the planet, whether it be biological or genetic, could cause if any one rogue agent out there gets out of hand. It's very frightening, people. We've been put in an extremely precarious position as a species, as a planet. Just think about the destruction. I mean, just the things that we have glossed over. An hour a day, 5 days a week for the last, I don't know, four, maybe 4 years, 3, 4 years at this level. It was 2 hours, 5 days a week before that. Think about just what we've talked about and all the different insanities that could potentially be in our future just from what we know about that's been published. And then think about all the stuff we don't know about. And this is a very frightening, unbelievably devastating potential future for all of us. In the United States, our executive order for our health policy agenda is now going to utilize their power to take control of it all. No single nation can be prepared if other nations remain unprepared to counter biological threats. So therefore, we are now going to imperialize you all in the name of Dr. Smartphone and keeping you safe from this terror that we have unleashed across the planet in the name of democracy. Therefore, it is the policy of the United States to advance the global health security agenda, more affectionately known as the GHSA, which is a multifaceted, multi-country initiative intended to accelerate partner countries' measurable capabilities to achieve specific targets to prevent, detect, and respond to. Oh, we're going to have a strategic stockpile for global threats. I could guarantee you that. All made up of experimental medications. Respond to infectious disease threats, whether naturally occurring, deliberate, or, whoops, accidental. The roles and responsibilities and activities described in this executive order will support the goals of the international health regulations and will be conducted as appropriate in coordination with the World Health Organization, the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, the World Organization for Animal Health, the Global Partnership Against the Spread of Weapons and Materials of Mass Destruction, the International Criminal Police Organization, more affectionately known as Interpol, and other relevant organizations and stakeholders. Guys, this is going to be healthcare and disease handed over to the global cartel. To advance the achievement of these targets and to support the implementation within partner countries, each executive department, agency, and office shall, as appropriate, partner, consult, and coordinate with other governments, international financial institutions, international organizations, regional organizations, economic communities, and non-governmental stakeholders like tech companies, including the private sector. Ding-a-ling-a-ling. Guys, here we go. This just dropped the bag for a global control network. That was the executive order advancing the global health security agenda to achieve a world safe and secure from infectious disease threats. And it goes on and on and on. I will put it in the notes, read it and weep, but it is happening. We are now going to employ these technologies that are fully not tested. They're just rolling out. 21st Century Cures Act is on its way to passage. We'll dump the FDA's oversight and make them approve things all in the name of accelerating cures and fueling our economic engine. The desperate and the dying can step right up. And in the not too distant future, the government, global government edict to keep us all safe from infectious diseases will be to monitor everything, to monitor our health, to monitor our environment, to monitor our communities. Keep the healthcare costs down. And the way to do that will be to just, eat this banana that's been modified with some mad science cure. that'll go in and genetically modify you in some way or unleash the little nanobots in your blood. So we had two stories. I don't know if I'm ever going to get to all the stuff I've had queued up since last week, but this came out yesterday out of Wired Magazine with the 21st Century Cures Act. The future of regenerative medicine is, quote, inject and see, unquote. Yep. We have no clue what we are doing. Step right up, get your injection, and let's see what happens, Johnny. And if it all works out, remember what we've said. You will become a case study, and we'll be able to use you to peddle our new wares that we just released at IPO. And everybody bought in at $4 a share, soon to split 10 to 1 in the next year and a half and be at $100 a share. Yep. And I will bet you there's a lot of Congress that's probably invested in some of those technologies. I wish we could get our hands on that data, because I'd really, really be interested to see what some of our congressmen are doing with their investing. Jules for Congress. I want an insider trade. Remember that one. All right. Anyway, it's the inject and see 21st Century Cures bill. For the past 4 years, a 51-year-old California resident has been using stem cell therapy to beat her secondary progressive multiple sclerosis back into remission. And gone is the paralysis to the left side of her face and the numbness in her fingers. In February, now remember, stem cells are something that we've discussed at length on this show before. And I think, honestly, if there was ever a technology that I, in my dying moments, might be apt to step up for, would be some sort of stem cell therapy. Remember, we read about that, those pluripotent iPS cells, I think they were called, where they could scrape your own skin cells, do a little chemical cocktail on them in a petri dish, and they can then be programmed to be any type of stem cell in your body. And then they can inject them, and their hope was that it would be just like an infant again and start creating new cells to rebuild whatever had degenerated within your body. And they've had a lot of success with that. They were doing those little mini brain balls, and they were doing lungs and hearts and blood and eggs and sperm cells. I mean, they've done all kinds of stuff. And the thing that was interesting about the technology is that there was nothing synthetic in there. They weren't creating synthetic stem cells and mixing them in with yours, because I don't want that. I don't want to be 2.0, but if it was something from my own body and they were able to, I don't know, put some enzymes or something in there that would cause them to regrow, that would be all me. You know, that would be like turning on some switch, going back through time and turning on the embryonic switch to start rebuilding. So anyway, they have had success in that, and that is one mad science that I'm maybe going to put that donkey pin on and put it off to the side, that I'm not going to cry insanity on that yet. Keep an eyeball on that. But anyway, gone is her paralysis, and she walked for the first time in years. Quote, I am living in a future that everybody will have someday, says Wilkinson, who co-founded the Patients' Right group, Patients for Stem Cells. We are trying to tell everyone the solution is here now. And we just need a logical way to bring this to patients sooner rather than later. And again, pesky FDA. According to Congress, that logical way is the 21st Century Cures Act, a labyrinthian bill that would make the most significant changes in decades to how medical treatments are tested, ding, ding, and brought to market. Politicians are working overtime to pass it before the new year. Remember, I told you 21st century medicine is going to be 2017 and beyond. And it is the number one priority for this lame duck session, passing the House on November 30th and advancing through the Senate last night. And this story was from 2 days ago, December 6th of 2016. So that's kind of scary. We should take a look. I'll look after the show and see where that is on the floor. They typically do the real-time minutes as they are discussing things on one of the websites. Final passage is expected to follow, guess what, this week. In some ways, the legislation lives up to its name. It includes ambitious goals to advance biomedical science, and it will inject up to $4.8 billion. I thought we saw $6.3 billion yesterday or Tuesday. But attached to those promises is a roadmap for abandoning the gold standard of medicine in favor of an expedited middle path for what? Drugs, medical devices, and regenerative therapies. This is the orgy of biotech coming to a doctor's office near you. I wonder if they're going to offer Hawaiian vacations with these for the doctors who prescribe them. Critics say it's deregulation in sheep's clothing and worry that both science and patients are going to suffer. And I guess then my title should be critic, because I am very against this 21st Century Cures Act. This is opening the floodgates, the acceleration of precision medicine to allow mad science to run amok. We're not going to be doing our due diligence to make sure something is safe before they put it in your kid. And there's nothing you can do about it there, Jenny. Step right up. We've mandated under our global agenda for health security that it is a requirement at a federal level. There are no religious exemptions. So you're going to step up or you're going to go into quarantine. We've already tested that a little bit back in the days of Ebola hitting the homeland, right? And we came up with our Ebola task force and sent in soldiers into Africa and gave Ebola vaccines that were made out of genetically modified tobacco as part of that Blue Angel program. We've been following this whole progression for a long time, and it is now coming to fruition. Whether or not you applaud or decry this legislation, it is almost certain to pass and be signed into law, if not by Obama, then by, ding, 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 the coming administration. I told you, when we saw the biotech stocks go through the roof after the election, we knew right then and there that this train wasn't going to stop. And this means that regenerative medicine is headed for prime time, rubbing your hands together, Kurzweil. And we now can be welcomed to the era of inject and see. In 2012, the patient in California named Wilkinson flew to Houston to receive her first stem cell treatment at a company named Celltex Therapeutics. Technicians there, notice how they're talking about something that people have been hearing about since the 80s, are stem cells, right? Since Ronnie Reagan was in office. And there was the whole uproar because we could only get stem cells back in those days from abortal fetal tissue. And all the right-to-lifers had a fit over that, and so it was banned. A lot of our scientists, we had a big brain drain, and they cried foul. A lot of our scientists and our university students who graduated or who were choosing a new school decided to go where it was considered legal. And so now, this is the anything goes. This is the next generation. They've just pulled out all stops because now, like I said, we can create those purpurant stem cells by scraping our own skin cells, and they no longer need embryonic tissue to make embryonic cells. So in 2012, she flew to Houston. She went to Celltex, and technicians there extracted adult stem cells from all her fat tissue, so same difference, and then cultured them for 13 days, allowing the population to expand before injecting the cells back into her. And the effects, she says, were immediate. She had less pain, more energy, but a few months later, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration ruled that Celltex was violating a 2006 rule that allowed the FDA to regulate expanded cell populations as drugs, and they would now need to get agency approval before being used in treatments. Now, Hate to say it, guys, but I have to agree with the FDA on this one. I would have to say stem cell treatment would be something that if we did have a regulatory agency that was keeping up on new mad science gone mad and additives in our food and GMOs and all that type of stuff, I would hope that they would at least want to review a treatment versus allowing it to go direct to consumer without anyone looking at it. Someone who is desperate, like I said, always the desperate and the dying, step right up and make yourself an experimental clinical trial. These actions became the most visible confrontation in a bitter decade-long battle between regulators and patients regarding the legality of regenerative therapies. And remember, like I said, stem cells were illegal here for some time. And while some companies like Celltex moved their operations to Mexico, you know, lots of companies did in regards to stem cells, Mexico that skirts regulations, other small clinics with lower profiles rush to fill the void, and the FDA has been slow to investigate the proliferation of these clinics and the therapies that they market. Today, there are close to 600 businesses in America selling stem cell solutions from everything from deafness to Alzheimer's to autism, all without FDA approval, according to a study published in February. And you know, what's really concerning about this is that this is happening already with the FDA standing there going, hey, guys, we as of 2006 are in charge of giving you approval to utilize these therapies. And there are all these companies out there that are already doing it without approval. So this 21st Century Cures Act is now going to accelerate it even faster. I mean, come on. Where is the thought behind this in any thinking human's brain? I mean, I just saw, you guys want to talk about like reaching the apex of humanity and sliding already on the downhill side. I was scanning the news this morning and I happened to be scrolling through my Facebook feed, and one of the news stories that came through mainstream last night that Pigmind posted was there was a global, some sort of like global type America's Got Talent show. And the guy that won by making Christmas songs with fart noises. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, humanity has crossed the apex of their height. And we seriously are on the downside of the mountain. That won a talent competition. So, you know, CRISPR and nanobots and Dr. Smartphone. Dr. Smartphone is going to be the convenience of it all. And these 21st century cures, allowing Star Trek medicine without any testing in a lab and allowing people to be real-time, ethically approved guinea pigs now, is the way of the future. Ethics are out a window for 2016. Remember, we talked about that. We were still talking about ethics of self-driving cars, killing the driver versus running over 10 people on a sidewalk and the AI making that decision for you. That was the ethics conversation in January of this year. And at the end, in December of 2016, we are already at the point where they are fast-tracking a bill to allow full-out-and-out experimentation, not only on the American public, but with that executive order that Obama passed on November 4th, in regards to global health security and working with all these governments, even the ones that don't have these capabilities, in the name of global and national security, to be monitoring health and disease, terror, bioterror, gene editing. They're going to require databases. Remember, we've talked about how to monitor, how to create a network operations center. This is going to be a global network operations center, all in the name being able to follow the new 21st century weapons of mass destruction that they unleashed and democratized upon the world. Guys, this is such an ugly picture. This is such a psyop. They are going to force medical tyranny on the planet. And in the name of medical tyranny, they're going to utilize that to be able to control us all. And this is not 20 years in the future. I don't even think that this is 10 years in the future. January is only 1 month away. And we know with the law of exponential returns, they've been saying now that we are at a point where every year we got a, was it 100 times? Some crazy number like that. The power of what we had the year before. And as technology begets technology, it's quickening in space at a, you know, 10 to the 10 powers happening. This isn't going to be even 5 years before this is commonplace. Before the end of this next administration would be my prediction. Turner, who is a bioethicist, speaking about ethics, at the University of Minnesota, was surprised by the scale of exploitive behavior that he found, and that would be those 600 unapproved stem cell therapy places in the United States that are operating without any FDA approval. And again, to listen to this, talk about fake news. This guy says anybody can buy a domain name and create a website. Oh, that pesky internet rears its ugly head again and make a grandiose therapeutic claim that has no basis in reality whatsoever. So don't believe what you read, Jenny. Don't believe what you see. Don't believe anything, because we'll tell you what you should believe. The situation has prompted scientists and policy workers to dub stem cell clinics Medicine's Wild West. And now the 21st Century Cures Act will change all that. Not by reining in unproven, unregulated treatments, but by providing a direct path to medical acceptance. Under the act, the FDA would have the authority to grant accelerated approval, of course, for regenerative medicine, skipping straight from animal models and safety trials, whoops, over efficacy testing in humans to post-market review. So they are going to be able to now fully skip the animal experimentation. Do you guys remember a while back we read a story about, yes, they were releasing all kinds of experimental animals from laboratories? Remember? And I'd said when that happened, I'm like, yeah, it's because we humans have been sold. And they raised that R&D line item budget for R&D. It was a free giveaway. We are now the property for experimentation as long as the results are shared. All in the name of the All of Us program. All in the name of stepping right up and giving your data to the machine so they can come up with more mad science cures. Yep. And now, all you greenies and animal ethicists out there don't have to worry about it, because we'll just experiment on humans. And that, how crazy is that? This is really happening, people. That, Turner says, could be a disaster for traditional stem cell research. If you legitimize these therapies and allow businesses to commercialize them, then it becomes difficult to recruit individuals for actual phase 3 clinical trials, he says. Clinical trials have guidelines about who can and who can't participate, and these inclusion-exclusion criteria help to produce reliable results. People who go on to the marketplace and get an unapproved therapy will not be able to participate because their inclusion criteria becomes compromised. Koffler, who is a stem cell researcher at UC Davis, and that was also where they were messing with those genetically modified cows, if you remember. And that's where Jennifer Doudna is as well, one of the founding and commercializing members of CRISPR, is worried about an even more troublesome outcome. He says, what happens when people get hurt by these therapies, either physically or financially? Ding, ding. Phase three studies typically include a much larger number of participants to enable statistical assessments of clinical benefits and detect any unusual risks not discovered in the smaller studies. This step places those risks and uncertainties squarely on the shoulders of paying patients. So like I said, we are financing our own destruction. Not only did they come up with these therapies utilizing sprinkle funding from places such as DARPA and the National Institute of Health and other federal agencies to develop this stuff, and then venture capital from tech billionaires, but then they spun it out to IPOs, like I said, and then get fast track approval so they could go straight to phase three studies where patients now have to kick a hefty copay, or maybe it's not even covered by insurance. And because typically studies are not covered by insurance, but I would assume, though I've never been part of a clinical study, that when you participate in a study, and like I've seen many times for psychological studies and that in college, they used to publish in the student paper looking for participants. They always paid you to participate. Well, if you skip all these other studies and go to phase three, apparently the patient will have to pay for it. And because treatments aren't covered by, here you go, public or private insurers, patients can spend a fortune in the quest for a cure. Wilkinson, the stem cell patient, has already paid $90,000 out of pocket. Or even worse than spending a fortune, how about develop a tumor, go blind, or have a stroke and die? Or end up brain dead. Like I said, I saw in that story a few weeks back about some of the stem cell treatments they were working on, that there were a bunch of participants, and it's a bad turn of events, and they had to end the study. I think we are going to hear a lot more about that in the next few years, says Koffler, which is unfortunate timing, since that's what he expects. Real, rigorously tested therapies to be coming online, stem cell treatments that help diabetics grow new insulin-making pancreatic cells, halting the progress of ALS and strengthening cardiac muscle cells in people suffering from heart failure are just some of the therapies advancing steadily down the full clinical trial pathway. And while patients and regenerative medicine investors celebrate and the researchers raise alarms, top FDA officials are holding their ground. In an article published in the New England Journal of Medicine last Wednesday, the FDA Commissioner Robert Califf expressed skepticism about the safety and efficacy of stem cell treatments. The current excitement over this potential to improve patient outcomes, curing disease, is understandable. However, we must fully understand its risks and benefits and develop therapeutic approaches based on sound science. Well, I hate to tell you people, but that Califf that's in charge of the FDA better be watching his back, because he basically said that he is not all for opening the floodgates to 21st century cures being utilized to experiment on humans directly. And there's an entire train going 1,000 miles an hour in that direction. So like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, there was an interesting story that came out yesterday from the LA Times, and they called it. I had to give them kudos for that. They pretty much said what we've been saying. The 21st Century Cures Act, a huge handout to the drug industry, disguised as a pro-research bounty. Ding, ding. The problem with bills in Congress that roar toward passage like juggernauts is that they're especially worthy of close examination. And like I said, anything that makes you raise an eyebrow, they crossed the aisle and shook hands, and they were butt-patting and palm-rubbing with big scary looking smiles on their faces and happy music in the video. And this dude, Michael Hiltzik, reporter for the LA Times, saw exactly what I did, and especially unlikely to get close examination because they're going to pull a slick willy, and that's what it's all about. That's the story with the 21st Century Cures Act, which reaches the Senate this week after achieving overwhelming bipartisan support in the House and almost certainly approved by Obama on the horizon. To judge from the huzzah, the Cures Act represents a landmark in funding for biomedical research, which is a $5 billion bounty for the Obama administration's cancer moonshots, as well as its initiatives on what? Oh, the brain. Ding, ding, ding. And that'll be tomorrow. As well as genomics-based precision medicine. Let that bell ring loud, people, because that's exactly, he hit the nail on the head. That's what it is. Simply put, the 21st Century Cures is an innovative game changer and a truly once-in-a-generation opportunity, and I would say in the history of man, to bring our healthcare system light years ahead of where it is today, says proclaimed Representative Fred Upton of Michigan, and he is in that video all about the 21st Century Cures. I'll put that in the notes again. The measure is due for a vote in Senate on Monday, and that already happened, with a vote enactment later this week. Senate passed the bill Wednesday afternoon and sent it to the House, and now that other story we just read said that it is going to be passed by the end of this week in the House. Now listen to this. If universal praise for a measure makes your BS detector twitch, which mine has been for a long time, and I've even talked about that, you are on the right track. 21st Century Cures Act is a huge deregulatory giveaway to the pharmaceutical and medical device industry, papered over by new funding for research initiatives. All right, guys, make sure you stick around. It is Thursday. Ms. Lonnie Clark is live up next tonight, 7 p.m. Game On, live with Ron. We have Hal Anthony's doing this week and S.M. Gibson live at 11. All right, guys, have an awesome Thursday, and I'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Skateboard.